Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Blog Talk Radio Show, The Covenant Cafe. Hey, it's your host, Lamont Ferguson. And
Poetic Lace.
And here's our infamous intro. Here we go.
Accept the unexpected. Seeing before you know it, this covenant's not in vain. Once the promises start showing, so put your faith in motion. Praising before you get it. Encouragement's on your radio, so come and listen in. This Covenant Cafe. Come get some praise in your system with Lamont Ferguson. Poetic Laces in the building for the moms and pops and children. Ushers, pastors, musicians, listen and pay attention. Expect a change and a difference. I'm too focused to let any doubt get in my way. Ultimate faith in God, I'll believe whatever He says. So glorify His name, He's more than worthy to be praised. I'm loving this covenant, Covenant Cafe.
Welcome back to the Covenant Cafe, your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
And once again, it's on a fabulous Sunday here in Covenant Cafe land. Before we get into what we're going to get into, let's do what we always do and open up with the word. So what we got?
All right. So the word for today, it comes from Genesis 3:9. That is where our marker is. And this is something, a revelation that God has given me during the course of this week that really opened my eyes up to the thing that what we lost when we rebel against God or when we sin against God, when we do wrong, period. So the scripture reads, "Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?'" Now, just to give y'all a quick reference of what's going on so we can start digging this thing out as far as what the Lord has shown me. You know, and at the top of this, we see that the serpent is the most craftiest and the most cunning of all the animals that God created. And the serpent deceives Eve into eating the fruit from the tree of knowledge. She eats this fruit, and this fruit opens her eyes up to what is right and what is wrong. And also Adam has also eaten it. Moments after that, now we come to where God is walking in the garden. And as God walks in the garden, Adam and Eve hears God coming. So they run to hide themselves, for the Bible even says that they were ashamed because they were naked. So they were ashamed of how they looked. And they hide themselves. And then the Lord God comes and says, "Adam, where are you?" Now, just to dig this thing out real quick, what amazed me was that I read the scripture and I'm like, you know, Lord, God, you knew. You know everything. You knew where he was. So, you know, what is the point of this question? I see that you do this often. You got to ask a question, but you know God knows the answer to it. So it's almost like, well, I'm answering this, right? But this is what God has showed me. The Lord has showed me that. Let's think about this from a literal standpoint. Sin separates us from God, period. Every time we sin, we are separating ourselves from God. God is holy, so he does not be in the presence of sin, nor is sin likely to, or the devil is likely to stay in the presence of God, the evil, the lust of our heart, the evil desires of us. So I want you guys to picture this. God, Adam and Eve have sinned, they have rebelled against God's word. And God, moments after that, says, "Adam, where are you?" So it's like, picture this. Where are you? I can't feel you like I used to feel you. Mm-hmm. I used to hear you pray, but I don't feel you no more since you have sinned. I can't touch you. I don't feel your heart beating no more. Every time you would think, I can hear you think. Every time you would pray, I can hear you pray. Every time you move, I can feel you. I just felt your love for me. But now, where are you, Adam? I don't feel you anymore. So what was highlighted to me was how dangerous sin is. So I'll make this more practical in modern day time. You curse somebody out, and you don't forgive them. The Bible says, if you don't forgive them, I will not forgive you. That's what God said. So you don't forgive them. So then the Lord comes down after you have cursed him out and held your grudge. The Lord comes down and says, Lamont, where are you? Not saying Lamont cursed anybody out, but I'm just saying, Lamont, where are you? I don't hear you anymore because you're not forgiving. Where are you? So the Lord knows where you are, but at the same time, he doesn't know where you are because you've been separated because of sin. So now we're thinking about how crucial sin is. So every time that we make a choice, because mind you, I said that Eve was deceived. She wasn't possessed. She wasn't forced. She wasn't even ventriloquist or puppeteered. None of that. She was deceived, and she chose. So her being deceived, I mean, she still made a conscious choice to go on and do what she do. So let's think about lust. The lusting, and lust is really to want something, to desire something more than God himself. So you lust after something. You want something more than God, and you go get it. And after that, you separate yourself. That choice. So making it practical, you know, you decide to have sex with somebody. You had sex, and it's outside of marriage. You had sex, and God said, do not fornicate. You know, wait until marriage. Keep yourself holy, for a marriage bed is undefilable. But you do it anyway, and you do it, and now you're no longer connected to God. So God is literally, where are you? I don't hear you. Where are you at? You're not as close to me as you was before. So what made it even deeper to me was that Adam and Eve, this thing happening, from reading the Bible, this is the first time that this ever happened. So though God knows about this, this is new. This is a new feeling. This is new. This is the first time of sin. So with this being new, look how big of a shock it is. Like, where are you? For God to say, where are you? And then I thought about how it followed up when you see Jesus on a cross. So now, not only did I see how much that we lost from sin and how great and big a deal, like, because we lost dominionship. Like, the Bible talks about how we were called to have dominion over the earth. We were to tell the animals, like, if a fish was to jump out of water, we was to say, get back in the water, fish, and it would get back in the water. We lost that dominionship. The earth was literally supposed to be refurbished and replenished because of our presence. And our tilling and our just, we're supposed to till the earth. But we lost all of that. We weren't supposed to be sweating and all this stuff. And on top of that, the Bible says that the fruit was supposed to be the meat. So we weren't even supposed to eat each other, cannibalism, nor were we supposed, period. We weren't supposed to even eat animals. We were supposed to be eating fruit. And animals weren't supposed to be eating animals. They were supposed to be eating fruit. For the earth was giving us our thing, but we lost all of that because of sin. Uh-huh. So I'm looking at what we lost, and then I looked at, look at the price that was paid. Because when Jesus was on the cross, and I want to turn to it so you guys don't think I'm playing with you real quick. As Jesus was on a cross, we see that Jesus literally said in chapter 27 at verse 46, it says, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? So, once again, you have Jesus who talked to God throughout the book. You know, I'm not like throughout Matthew. You see that every time God, Jesus prayed, he was certain that every time I pray, God hears me, period. There's nothing else to it. But you see, this is the only time that you see him say, God, why have you forsaken me? So, I'm like, when I first read it, I took it into consideration, like, okay, Jesus is going through it like we go through it. So, it's like, oh, man, you know, we can relate that we feel that there's times that God is with us, but we don't feel that he's with us because of our pain. That's not the case here. The case here is Jesus literally became sin for us on the cross. Now, mind you, you see what happened with Adam and Eve. When sin came in, there was a separation. God has to turn his back to sin. So now that Jesus became sin, he was literally separated from God. So this is new to him. He's been talking to God all this time. There was not a moment he did not feel that God was with him. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane when he cried and he prayed and he started sweating blood, he still knew God was there, and he still said, nevertheless, Father, your will, not mine. So with that being said, even in the toughest of pressure, he still had a relationship with God. But at this point in time, he became sin, and God is no longer there. He's, God, why have you forsaken me? Because Jesus has become sin. So with that being said, just to tie it all together, now I'm looking at what we lost because of sin and the price that was paid just so we can have a relationship with God. His own son died on the cross, went through a period of time of not being with God just so we can have a relationship with it. even so, what's even realer, this what confirms that this was going to happen, not only when he spoke to, when God, you know, punished the serpent by telling him he's going to eat of the dust, and saying that her seed, which he's talking about, Mary, is going to bruise your head with his heel, and your head was going to bruise his heel. But also, this one thing that tripped me out too, God kicked him out the garden, right? Now, mind you, this hurt him because this is seed. This is, you know, Adam, this is my first creation, and I have to kick him out of paradise. And it showed me that God is willing, because the reason why, let me go to it because I'm gonna chew up so much time. It says right here, he says in verse 21, it says, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics and skin and clothes for them. Then the Lord said, God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the garden and Eden to till the ground in which he was taken. So I read that to say that God said, I was kicking him out because now that he has sinned, he is separated from me. So now if he eats of the tree of life, he will live forever being separated from me. So God is saying, I am willing to kick you out of paradise just to have a relationship with you. So I wanted, because you know God says, and later in the Bible you see God wants to bless you and he wants you to have a life of fulfillment in him. Well, that couldn't be so if he was eternally living forever being separated because of, you know, the sin of eating the tree of knowledge. So that being said, that take into account that God is going to get you any means necessary. He's willing. He was willing to sacrifice his son, and he was willing to kick out Adam out of the paradise just so that Adam won't eat from the tree of life being forever separated. So you may make it practical in your life. What are some of the things that God has held you back from just to keep you from falling? So some people want money or they want the bigger job, but say the bigger job, it causes you to travel more, making you be away from your family and to be in more of a demonic area. Say it's like you have to deal with strip clubs and you have to deal with lusting things for more often, and this can cause you to end up backsliding. So with that being said, God wanting to keep you, and he knows that you're not ready for that level, he's willing to get you away from what you would call paradise just to make sure that your soul is preserved for heaven. So with that being said, as I close out, the whole thing I want you to keep in mind is, and search your heart, search your soul. What is it that you are doing or you could do or that you might do that will make God come down and say, where are you? Because it's a shameful thing to be in God's presence and he not know you there. Because they remember, it never said that they ran to another part of the garden. It just said that they hid. So they were in God's presence because they knew God was coming, and they heard him coming. And they heard, obviously they heard God say, where are you? So to be in his presence and he still asks, where are you? Now that's shame. Because even said the Bible says they were shamed. So when they had told God, no, we were ashamed that we were naked. What you mean you were ashamed being in my presence? So before you act or do something, is it a shameful thing if God, knowing that God is there? And is it worth having God say, where are you? Even though you right there, Lord, I'm standing before you. Oh, I can't see you because you're covered in sin. You're not acting like the blood that was shed over you. You won't walk in that.
Tough. It's absolutely tough. You know what? When we have that walk, how can I explain this? You can walk and not see. Say like in the morning, now you wake up,
mm-hmm.
You're not really fully focused, and God is, and you walk, and then you trip over the bedpost, or you bump the knee.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, mm-hmm. you're not focused, but you are still being led. And that's
right.
How life is. If you
mm-hmm.
just go ahead and have that faith, yeah, you might bump into something, but just be led. Because eventually you get to the bathroom or where you're going to. You might be going to the bathroom or you might be going in downstairs or whatever. That's most likely you're going
mm-hmm.
to the bathroom. But
mm-hmm.
you still You're not focused, but you're still being led. So you hit that vault, and then you still make it to the bathroom. And that's the way God is. You still have to have that faith. Even though you bump into something, you're still going to get to where you're going.
Right.
You know, so we all got to make sure we keep our focus, because it's so easy to be distracted in life, and especially in our industry, because of what we talked about last time, that people think it's easy as a piece of cake, but there's a lot of stuff we come against.
Right.
You come against the frustrations of dealing with people, or fans, or the opposite sex, even though knowing they know what the deal is. You still deal with that, you know? So
right.
You definitely got to be led and not try to understand on your own, like, okay, God, yeah, she's nice, but I know my girl's at home, or, you know what I mean? You still have to be strong. Strong still have to be strong, no matter what.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun, entertaining, yes. But a lot of people see that as, oh, man, he's up there. You know, let me, that's how a lot of athletes fall, and a lot of entertainers fall, because of the attraction to being well known. A lot of females like that aspect.
Right.
You know.
And it's funny, I mean, because this is one thing I'm coming across, that this was a big revelation to me. This week, August 27th, you guys, last week, I mean, I became 4 years of abstinence of sex, you know, cheers. And the thing is, as I had time to sit down and to evaluate just the whole where I'm at now and how this went, I thought about the different girls that I encountered in this walk of abstinence. And, you know, off the surface, oh, he's a man of God, and he's so ambitious. He got so much going for him. They would tell me, so many, I know it'd be any girl that want to be with you. Da 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 da. They said all this good stuff. But I had time to think and sit on it. And I said, I had to thank God. I said, God, I thank you that I wasn't mesmerized by her words and her words, because I'm sure she would have cheated on me, because she just has to have attention. She just has to have sex. She just has to have intimacy. And now where I'm at, it's like I am restricting my body from a lot of things that would, you know, that some people would deem okay. But I noticed that where my thoughts would travel from. So, example, cuddling, you know, it's not sex. Cool. But the issue is, how can I cuddle and not get aroused? And if I'm aroused, how can I not think thoughts that's going to cause me to be like, okay. Now, every man is different. But what I'm saying for me is that I noticed as I'm growing in character and I'm growing in the Lord, and I'm noticing that there are a lot of things that are okay, there are a lot of things that aren't okay, there are a lot of things that I can do, a lot of things that I can't do. And the things that I can't do, it's not necessarily because, oh, the Bible says it, but the Bible talks about if your right eye makes you sin, pluck it out. So with that being said, having a right eye doesn't make you, is not the sin. Having the eye is not the sin, because it's something God has given us. But it's the fact that what is the right eye making you do? So with that being said, there are a lot of gestures and movements and activities and things I might watch and things I hear on the radio and TV, et cetera, that can cause me to want to sin or cause me to sin, so I have to cut it out. So with that being said, looking back at all the, you know, different young ladies that I could have courted and whatnot, I thank God that I did not, or that he intervened on my behalf, because being with them would have been stressful because of the pressure that walking and being abstinence, and because of the pressure of what they want. Because I'm thinking of just really bright time. It was like a big revelation to me, like, because I thought about, like, okay, why with me and her? Why didn't that work well? And I had to sit down and think about our encounters. This one young lady that, you know me, I'm just put it out there. This one young lady that I was almost dating, she literally, when I told her I'm being abstinent, and, you know, she was like, oh, that's what's up, I want to do it too. And it was literally the second time she came to see me, she was like, she asked me, could she touch it, you know, touch my private. And I'm like, nah, what you mean? What you trying to get stirred up? And she's like, well, dang, can we do anything? Right there. Right there. Right. You know what I mean? See, now you're trying to find loopholes in the commandments. You're trying to find things around how you can still please your flesh but not go all the way. But I'm sure enough, I'm telling you, because even so, I remember, you know, we're going to put it out there because I know somebody needs this. You know, they tell you, you know, oral sex is not sex. But sure enough, after you cross that plane, you start thinking, why not cross the next plane?
Mm-hmm.
Or even if it's somebody who just started off with masturbation and watching porn, then eventually you want to try it yourself. So it's like, I say that to say that I thank God for removing those obstacles. And though I didn't understand sometimes, because I remember, and I got to share this to you, I remember one time this young lady, she calls me, and before we had a past as far as like, oh, maybe we should date, maybe we shouldn't. This was like probably 2 years ago. About two and a half years ago. She calls me and she tells me that she just slipped up with a guy. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, I prayed about it. We prayed. I gave her some scriptures about how we all fall short of the glory of God. But the problem is not that we fall, but the fact that we stay. You know, we went over scriptures and everything. And she was like, oh, I feel refreshed. And I see her on Facebook pointing on how God is good and this and that. And, you know, maybe this could work. She said all bunch of good stuff. So I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, Lord, maybe she's the one. Maybe I can start talking to her and, you know, God, da 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 da. And I'm just excited. So I'm just thinking, you know, tomorrow I'll just talk to her and just grow from there. Right? I went to sleep that night, and I had a dream. The Lord gave me a dream, and I saw her having sex with different guys. And I woke up, and I prayed about it, and the Lord had showed me, though, you know, we were prayed, and, you know, she repent for the moment, she's going to go right back to doing what she's doing. Right back to it. Watch. And, you know, that's hard to say. So I called her. I'm like, you know, I had a dream about you, and this was a dream. Dog, she just, like it was a standstill. Like, she knew I read her mind or something. That's how she was acting. Sure enough, time went on, right back to doing it, if not more. So with that being said, I just thank God for revealing things and the deliverance and everything. And, we, you know, we're just going, piggybacking off of what you said about the pressure of how somebody may view it this way. But the thing is, it's a sacrifice to be able to handle that kind of pressure. So it goes back to why do you want this so bad? Are your motives in place to handle what it is that you're reaching for? What sacrifices are you making to get it in the first place, too? Because a lot of people, man, yeah, God gave me this vision, and this is going to work out. And let's take it to the secular side, not just people talking about God going to do this. Even so, on the secular side, yeah, man, I got this dream. Man, I know I can do this and that because I got the talent. But the thing is, do you have the work ethic? What are you putting behind it? Do you sleep until because this is a vice versa thing, because, you know, as us in the artistry, we have late nights. We have a late night, sometimes early mornings as well, but we're like vampires, up all night, and you may be sleeping to the noontime and then do it all over again. But if you're not doing nothing at night and you go to sleep and then you wake up at 2 and you do that every day, you know, how do you expect for God to trust you with a business when your business hours are deemed, that's 9 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. But you sleep during those hours. So how are you going to make profit? So are you just lusting after the title of being a CEO? Do you even know what it is? Some people are like, oh, yeah, I'm CEO. What does it mean? Cell phones everywhere. What? No. No, it does not mean that. So what are you lusting for, and why are you lusting for it? And do you have the capacity? Does your character carry the capacity to carry the weight and the pressure of what it is that you say that is in your heart to go after and achieve?
That is absolutely the truth. Cell phones everywhere.
everywhere. Operational. What? Who told you that?
Everywhere, operational, everyone.
Man, I see CEOs, man. They got like 2-3 cell phones.
That's funny.
And? I can't call it.
That's hilarious. So what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and get into our music break, and we'll come back with some wonderful stuff. And we're going to get into some Yolanda Adams, Open My Heart, here on the Covenant Cafe. We'll be back. Thank you. Man, that's a great song.
Man, I love that song, yo.
It's great, man. It's definitely a classic, classic song. So, now let's talk a little bit something about what's going on in the world. The big subject for this week is
the
chemical of mass destruction.
Okay, you can talk about that first. We can cover that first because I saw it too, but I'm like, I know Lamont probably
won't
get this on the head.
Well, basically, I'm not gonna go in deep on it because bottom line is, every president has their war. Every term. And this seems to be something that they have to do and accomplish and show their powers. I don't care who you are. A lot of people are like, oh, you know, Obama this, Obama that. I'm not knocking Obama, but he's just following suit with all the other presidents. Every president had their war. And this one, It's pretty interesting because we're going into chemicals, chemical warfare, and it's the worst because, you know, of course bombs are bad too, but chemical is everywhere. You just drop it, you know, once it hit one certain area, everybody in that area is affected. And what they're doing over there, they're killing their own people, thousands, and children included. They don't even get a shot at life. Now, do we go in and save them? But there are a lot of other issues that we don't go in and save. You see what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
We
yeah.
don't always know what the true reason is why we're going in.
Right.
Because the big thing with Bush is when we was going to war before, it's like, okay, they got chemicals of mass destruction, and we came up empty. Now there is. What do we do? Do we go in and help those people? Are we going to help restructure them? When we should be help restructuring our own unit here. You see what I'm saying? So I don't always agree in going in and helping everybody and not your own country.
Yes.
We are in bad shape financially. Physically, there's a lot of people that need our government, and they don't get the proper help. There's a lot of vets don't get the proper benefits that they have to fight for their proper benefits. If I defended the country, if I put my life on a line for our country, and I have to beg and plead for the proper benefits after I had lost a leg, an arm, a finger, or didn't lose anything, but my mental state is gone. But now I go down to the VA hospital and I can't get help. I gotta jump through all kind of loops just to get the proper benefit. I don't think that's right. I mean, you know, I think it's always interesting when we go help and fight other wars, and we can't. We have wars going on right here on our own land.
Yeah.
Number one, my hometown, Detroit. Look at it. It's in shambles. It looks like a war zone when you go there. A war zone. Buildings, you know, you have thousands and thousands of abandoned houses, which breeds pedophiles, rapists, drug dealers, drug dealers, gangs, rats, roaches, all kind of stuff. They're in shambles.
Mm.
They need help. Are they getting help?
Mm.
Hasn't been mentioned. But we're going across the water to help somebody else to get in their business. Not to say we shouldn't help, but if we're going to help, we need to help here before we go out. Just like your house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Now, let's say you just got your check, and your check is $200, and you don't have any food, any toilet tissue, or anything. So you come over to my house, and he's like, man, you need some money. Here's $200. Mm. Here, you need some groceries. Here, let me help you out with the toiletries. Here, take this. Here, let me pay your rent. But you've fallen apart at home. You know, it just.
It's a party, great, especially when you give Christ your life. It's no gambling out of life or dice.
Yep.
Keep your eyes put up into the seed light of Christ. Make the right decision by paying close attention to the Lord's voice in the kitchen. The cooking now rock, but the king on the throne. Let us go.
That's right.
Air cool breeze for renewing. That's the Holy Spirit in the movement. Ooh, then you win by measure all sins. So I'm coming in, blown away like a fresh wind. Don't stop and keep your growing. The Christ is growing. That's the thing I'm trying to keep us assured and lost in the world that's falling. We all in battle and sort of sin and trying to come in. So let's get high. Live for the Lord. Just feel so right.
Yeah.
in my zone. Praise my God who sits on the throne. I got that peace, new shalom. It's the party, I ain't sipping no strong, but I'm drunk in the spirit. Listen very close and know, yes, you can hear it. This is my life, it is more than lyrics.
I had to do that. I'm sorry, guys. I had to play that song because we had to have a praise party because I was going in hard. I was going in hard. So I'm gonna let up. My bad. But that's my soapbox. I have to lay back because I was about to go in hard. So we had to have a praise party. So moving on.
You were saying some real stuff. I mean, no disrespect or any belittling of our government, but I mean, even the Bible talks about if you were to, you know, everybody want to rush out into ministry, et cetera, et cetera. But the Bible says that if you were to rush out of ministry and not take care of your home, you are worse than an unbeliever. So even according to God's standards, our first ministry, our first rescuing mission, our first exalting and encouraging and building up mission is home. It's taking care of home. And I believe those same principles should apply in our everyday life. So before I focus on coming to your house and noticing that you need more bread and water, do I have bread and water in my house for my children?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I going to spend my whole check? I'm talking about this is what I'm seeing. I'm driving through Detroit, Michigan. Oh, it looks like somebody dropped a nuke over here. Then I go through Chi-Town, and I'm like, oh, hell, like all these abandoned warehouses. Then I go through, and I'm driving all the way. I get to Florida, and I'm, shoot, this looks like, you know, Bin Laden was hiding here. And then I get on an airplane, and then I fly straight to Asia. And like, here, man, here goes some money, man. I've been saving up to help y'all. And so I just drove through all of these impoverished areas,
mm-hmm.
and gave you my check to somebody that's not even family. No, it's not like you said, man. No, not knocking the fact that, you know, we all need help. You know, that's cool, but at the same time, what about home? What about us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what about us? Didn't Michael Jackson have a song that's called "What About Us"?
No, they don't care. They don't really care about us.
Yes, they don't care about us. There it is. They don't care about us. Wow. You know,
I'm not saying that to plant seeds in anybody's mind, but I mean, this is what I'm hoping that's really gathered from the whole thing is that, you know, on one end, I definitely would love and I hope that a government official is listening right now and is saying, you know what, you know, they got a point. And I never saw it that way. You know, that would be beautiful. But on the other end, we can't put our hope in man, period. Our hope has to rest in God. It has to rest in somebody that is greater than us. Because with that being said, man is going to let you down every time. And even so, there are times that I have let myself down just like others have let themselves down. And there are times that you're going to let people down just like you have been let down. So, I mean, there's a lot of flaws in the system, period. But the Bible prophesied that it's going to happen. So what I'm basically saying now is that we know this to be true. We see that this is happening. It's going to happen. It has happened. the reason why a lot of people continue to be discouraged, like example, now you're talking about chemical warfare, and then there are some people who are scared. Well, what if it comes over here? Or what if it gets in our water? What if we get involved and they start attacking us? And you got people that are scared. But the thing is, what I'm noticing that I don't necessarily hear fellow believers who are like rooted being discouraged over that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't hear no. It's like it's not a fear there when your hope is in God and not in man. Because I remember when the economy first shifted down, there were so many people complaining, being scared about losing their homes. And some of those people that I know personally still have their homes. So that whole period of time of you stressing and causing all of us to try to stress with you, what good did it do? Because you put your hope in a system that was developed to fail. Like, hear my wording, it was developed to fail. Just something to think about. Where's your hope at?
We'll
continue on, my brother.
But however, what we're going to do now is get into some what I call weird news. And
sure, I got some events. I got some things we can discuss.
It's some amazing stuff that's going down, but it's going on. Nope, no pun intended. Bomb sound, sorry. Okay. Girl calls police over massive spider. Cops fight beast off with newspaper. Imagine that.
Wait.
Yes.
Okay. I had to gather that real quick. Okay, I'm ready now.
Yes. An Oregon teen called police over a massive spider. And she used the word freaking. Massive freaking spider on August 16th. And the audio that led cops on the mission to destroy a tiny arachnid was released this week. The teen caller was later identified as Makina Sewell. Earlier reports that she called 911 are false. She called a non-emergency police dispatch number. The teen didn't say during the phone call that she suffers from muscular dystrophy, which would have made it extremely difficult to kill spider by herself. Now, when she called, she said this to the dispatcher. I'm home alone, and there's a giant spider on the back of my couch, and I'm talking giant. I've never seen a spider this big, and I have no idea what to do. Now, an officer did respond to the scene and estimated the spider was about 2 inches in diameter. Modern police equipment was not necessary to handle the eight-legged perp in this case. The officer disposed of the spider with an old-fashioned rolled-up newspaper. Now, the victim said she called the police because her family member was recently bit by a spider and had to go to the hospital. Plus, she said the spider was a massive freaking creature. Police said they usually don't respond to calls such as this, but decided to help the teen anyway.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, I call the police over here and say I'm bleeding. I might not even get a response for a couple of days. You know what I'm saying? They came for a spider?
Yes.
Sheesh, yeah, that's what's up. Glory to God, because, I mean,
now,
she could have had a heart attack.
Now, check this out. Window doctor shoots self while biking, blames imaginary gang. Let's check this out. This guy shot himself, but he blamed that he was attacked by a gang. Let's get into the story. Watch this. Or listen, I should say. Police say Wendell Doctor, 22 years of age, accidentally shot himself while riding his bike, then blamed it on a gang of six men dressed in hoodies, the Connecticut Post reported. He was arrested Thursday on charges for making a false statement, unlawful discharge of a firearm, and failure to report a lost firearm. Now check this out. I have something to say about this. I'm going to go on, though. Police say doctors at the Bridgeport Hospital notified them in May to report that they were treating doctor for a gunshot wound. Officials say he claimed he was riding his bike when six men showed up, their faces obscured by hoodies, sweatshirts, and asked for money before shooting at him. Cops thought that his story was sounding suspicious, especially because they found a bullet exit hole coming from inside his pants. Eventually, they said he broke down and admitted he was carrying a gun in his waistband and accidentally went off while he was riding. He is now out of jail on $10,000 bail, according to the Associated Press. This isn't the first self-inflicted gunshot wound to get blamed on a non-existent assailant. In May, a cop in Quebec accidentally shot herself in the leg while breaking up a party, but didn't realize the bullet came from her own gun. The incident resulted in a 30 people being held for questioning and spurred a ground and helicopter search involving two police forces before the officer realized she was the mystery shooter. Now, if you remember, okay, this story says this guy, he's out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know how much time he got. But if you remember, Plaxico Burress.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. First thing that came to my mind.
From the New York Giants at the time. I don't know where he's playing it now. I think they're playing it. I'm not sure. Well, however, shot himself in the leg and got 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
2 years. So I don't know how long, because they say the doctor is now out of jail. Now, this happened in May. So you got June, July, August.
Mm-hmm.
3 months? If he went to jail at all, how is it that, this is when we're talking about our government again, how is it that he gets, I'm not sure whether it's the whole 3 months or what. How is it that one person gets 2 years for shooting himself in the leg? Hold on, did he get 2 years or 1 year?
He did 2 years. I think
he did
2 years.
2 years.
Mm-hmm.
He shoot himself in the leg, and this guy is just, it's okay. And the police officer didn't get any time either.
I'm thinking, I think with Plaxico Burress, what happened, they said that he didn't have a license to carry a concealed weapon. Mm-hmm. I think that played an effect. That might have been that, or the fact that he had it in the club, or he was on probation or something, so he shouldn't have had a weapon at all. I believe there was another factor in it that was involved in it to where it was only logical that he do some kind of time. But 2 years, I guess, for shooting yourself, that is something that you still argue. But, you know, looking back on his end, I mean, did he have a license to carry it? Also him making this false report.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm for righteousness. I'm for fairness, for, you know, the equal rights thing, you know, not letting skin tone be a factor of how much time I get. I'm hoping that was the case, because I believe I remember hearing something like that it had to deal with, that he didn't have his permit or something. If anybody does know, we definitely want you to call in and give us the information. The number is 718-766-4553. You know, tell us the truth behind it, and how do you feel?
Absolutely. And the last story, it's pretty interesting. We'll take the story over to Dubai. Okay, check this out. Dubai dieters trade fat for gold after 5-week weight loss challenge. All right, dieters going for the gold in Dubai have hit the scales at the end of a 5-week challenge. with the Biggest Loser dropping enough to earn him more than $3,200 worth of precious metal. The contest drew in hundreds of people seeking to lose at least 2 kilograms, 4.4 pounds, which means 4.4 pounds, to qualify for a gold payout. Authorities are seeking to raise awareness about the rising obesity rates across the Gulf region. The national newspaper on Sunday quoted a way off official saying the biggest drop was a man who lost 22 kilos or more than 48 pounds. Anyone shedding more than 10 kilos, which is 22 pounds, earns 3 grams of gold per kilo loss. Smaller gold payouts were given for those who lost between 2 and 10 kilos. And that wraps up the world news. I mean, weird news. Now, that's pretty interesting. Losing weight for gold.
Something to motivate the people, man, because obviously $5 foot long, obviously that's not working.
No, not at all. And my thing is this, that is not a bad deal right there. I mean, you get paid to lose weight to take care of your body. That's a good initiative.
Yeah.
That's definitely a good initiative. So, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it, the weird news. So what we're going to do is get into another song, and then we're going to come back out. Our infamous fan should be here shortly, Deacon, and we can see what Deacon is up to here on the Covenant Cafe. Let's go into Smokey Norfolk. I Need You Now. We'll be back.
Another minute, not an hour, another day, but at this moment with my arms outstretched, I need you to make a way, as you have done so many times before. Throwing door and open door, I stretch my hands to thee, come rescue me. I need you right away. I need you now. I need you now. I need you now. I need you now. Not another second or another minute, not an hour of another day, but Lord, I need you right away. If I never needed you while I was yet searching the world for more, the truest friend I have indeed. You're my best friend, I know in need. I stretch my hands to thee, come rescue me. I need you right away. Victory. not another minute, Lord. Can't wait another day, oh, oh Lord.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Place.
And we got the deacon coming here. Okay, wait, hold on. Somebody's at the door. I'm about to, I don't recognize the guy. I don't know, should I open the door?
Might well, we know ain't nobody else. I'm not ringing our doorbell this late.
Hold on, I'm about to open the door for a second. Yes, thank you, yes, 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 who are you? They call me Deacon Harold. Yes, yes, uh-huh, uh-huh. Deacon Harold, what, where did you come from? What Deacon said, well, he can't be here today, so he sent his messenger, and I am his messenger, Deacon Harold. And he said to be careful of you and Poetic. So he told me to tell you that you need to be out of the studio where I do the stuff that he does, like the useless news and stuff like that. So I had to kindly to ask you to leave the studio, and I have to go on and talk to Poetic. Okay. Wow. This okay. Okay. All right. Look, at least I'm gonna go ahead and step out. I'll be back. Yes, listen here. Like I said, I'm Deacon Harold, and I'm here to replace Deacon for today. Do you have any questions for me?
So you're a deacon?
Yes, I'm a deacon under Deacon.
Oh, okay. What? Go ahead. Where is Deacon at? Why didn't he come today?
He said that he was running late because they didn't have his rolls ready at Golden Corral. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So he told me to make sure I watch out for that boy. What that other boy name?
Lamont.
Yes, yes. I have a quote. I have a scripture here to let you know about a couple of things. And it says Proverbs 3:6. All right. And in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So Deacon says, let you know, acknowledge him, and he can help you get your radio station to where you gotta go.
Okay.
And he said, listen, he said, Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, pleasing to God, and this is your spiritual act of worship. So he said, make sure you sacrifice and let that boy go, and everything will be all right with the Covenant Cafe.
Okay.
So.
All right. Continue.
Amen? Yes, yes. Okay, so here is some of the most useless, interesting facts here. Check this out. Most American car horns honk in the key of F.
Hmm, I know that. Continue.
Yes. Your stomach has to produce a new layer of mucus every 2 weeks, otherwise it will digest itself.
Mm. Okay.
And if you have your children, if anybody out there has children and know how to leave cookies for Santa Claus and milk for the reindeers or something like that, but this useless fact says nothing about that. It says reindeers like to eat bananas. And a couple more, and I gotta go to go pick up Deke because I just received a text. Yeah, he's ready, but he might be here later. But I'm here, okay. All right, listen to this. No word in the English language rhymes with month, orange, silver, or purple.
Yeah, that sounds about right. All
right. And a giraffe can't go without water longer than a camel.
Wow, I didn't know that. I wouldn't have expected that, but okay.
And bees have 5 eyes, and there are 3 small eyes on the top of a bee's head and 2 larger ones in front.
Hmm.
Okay. And one more. Butterflies taste with their hind feet.
Oh wow!
Yes, yes.
Right.
Now I want to leave you with this. Acts 18:11. So Paul stayed for a year and a half teaching them the word of God. Now, you've been a year plus. Actually, you guys been on a year, so you got a little bit longer to deal with Lamont. Because you gotta continue teaching the word of God, okay? All right.
Okay.
So be blessed. I'll be blessed and be blessed. Do you want me to get you anything from Golden Corral while I am there with the deacon?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
don't worry about it. I don't have any money for you anyway. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I gotta go. Bye. Bye.
Wow.
Yo, this was funny. I was thinking in my head, like, I really don't like this guy. I really don't care for this guy. And then when he offered me something, I started thinking in my mind, like, you know what, give him a chance. And I'm like, yeah, give me something. I don't have any money for you. So then I was going to say, you know what, I just stuck to my first intuition, my first mindset. I don't like this guy. He's a dupe boy for Deacon. And Deacon, you know, didn't I tell you that? I said, last show, I said, he slowly but surely, he's trying to diss me on a slide. And this one, he did it again. He did it again.
Wow. I don't believe it. He said the messenger. I mean, like, wow. That's interesting.
It's crazy how Deacon likes to use scriptures and flip them into his.
I don't get it. And what's funny is that while he's eating, he sent somebody to do a spot on the radio.
Yeah.
You
not
usually,
before the show.
Yeah, usually you like send somebody like, man, go grab me something to eat while I go do the show. You show up to the show and you send the person that's helping you out to go
exactly.
eat.
Exactly.
He did the flip. He sent the person to do the show while he go eat. Wow.
Please tell me you have a song, man. Please.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get into another song. And actually, when we come out of that, we definitely going to get into some interesting stuff as far as the poetry spot. And it's one of my favorite poetic lacing songs, man. I mean.
Nah.
Yeah. So let's get into a little Kiki Sheard. You are here on the Cover of the Cafe. This is your host, Lamar Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
Step out, go make some noise if you know God is good. Come on, let's celebrate. Here we go. One. Ah. full counselor, Holy One.
Let's get into what we call the poetry spot here on the Covenant Cafe.
This
Let's get into that intro.
The poetry spot. And I'm Isis, the goddess of poetry. Flow it free into the universe. Taking down the tongue and speaking new languages. Leave feeling its freedom ringing in your soul. Flow it freely. No, leave that which prohibits you to be anything else but free-flowing in the breeze. Flow it free until your conscious freezes with zest and less stress to confine its motionless mind, dimming light till you are blind. No, let's rewind. Go back in time when it would only cost a penny for your thoughts. Now, it's a dime. Flow it free. Do not be reckless and intertwined with bottomless pits of naked minds. Be not afraid to take a peek into my mind, because only in this place and time, within the fine line, will you find a peace of mind, and you will then be able to flow it free. Now, leave me.
essence is the Poetry Spot.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Poetry Spot. And I have a very interesting story. The interesting, what do you call it, inspirational story. Poetic Lace, we have a song by Poetic Lace. Diamonds on My Neck. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely got to catch that video on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And now this here, I gotten this from online. It says The Important Things in Life by Stephen on September. He wrote this September 13th, 2008. Okay. It says, it goes, a philosophy professor stood before his class with some items on the table in front of him. When the class began, wordlessly, he picked up a very large and empty mayonnaise jar and proceeded to fill it with rocks about 2 inches in diameter. He then asked the students if the jar was full. They agreed that it was. So the professor then picked up a box full of pebbles and poured them into the jar. He shook the jar lightly. The pebbles, of course, rolled into the open areas between the rocks. Then he asked the students again if the jar was full. They agreed it was. The professor picked up a box of sand and poured it into the jar. Of course, the sand filled up the remaining open areas of the jar. He then asked once more if the jar was full. The students responded with a unanimous yes. Now, said the professor, I want you to recognize that this jar represents your life. The rocks are the important things, your family, your partner, your health, your children, things that if everything else was lost and only they remained, your life will still be full. The pebbles are the other things that matter, like your job, your house, your car. The sand is everything else, which would be the small stuff. If you put the sand into the jar first, he continued, there is no room for the pebbles or rocks. The same goes for your life. If you spend all your time and energy on the small stuff, you will never have room for the things that are important to you. Pay attention to the things that are crucial to your happiness. Play with your children. Take your partner out dancing. There will always be time to go to work, clean the house, give a dinner party, or fix the disposal. Take care of the rocks first, the things that really matter. Set your priorities. The rest is just sand. Wow. That makes sense, because like once you put the rocks in, there's still a little space. You put the pebbles in, there's still a little space. And then we add the sand, it falls between the cracks.
Yeah.
So if you put the sand first, you take up space.
Yeah,
that's pretty interesting.
That's good stuff.
Now, we're going to get into a very interesting, do you have anything background on the Diamonds on Your Neck song?
Yeah, there's several things that go into the song. When I did the song, first, of course, Jay, shouts out to Jay Money on the production and producing the instrumental. As I sat down on the song, listening to it, and the thing that came to mind was, one, that it's always cool to talk about money and cars and clothes, this and that, but it's cool to be a Christian. We are blessed over here. You know what I mean? We really have things going on over here on our side as well. So that was one perspective. And then another thing is, you listen to the course of the song, I got tired of it being cool to diss a Christian. Like, there's so many movies that talk about Christianity, talk about the church, so many jokes on the church. Cool. It's all good. That's all good. But you can't say anything about any other religion, period. So that being said, even from an immature standpoint, immature, like, hey, this is how I feel. If you ain't one of us, then you ain't in. You know what I mean? So it was very immature on my end, but nevertheless, the song was released in March 23rd of 2012. but it is what it is. But, you know, that's the whole standpoint is one that it's a blessing. It's a beautiful thing to be a Christian and also to be confident and to stand strong in being a Christian.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Poetic Lace, Diamonds on My Neck, here on the Covenant Cafe. Let's check it out.
Diamonds on my neck, got me shining so bright. This is the side of it when you chill with Christ. This ain't a sun song, it's a punch song. Time to kick away the sin, hut, hut song. Tell me how you feeling, my whole team say, so you know we all grilling. Mouth full of white, soul full of gold. High up the Holy Spirit, but we ain't blowed. Cruising through the city with my sword in my lap. Not a gun, but my Bible, yeah, I stay strapped. But special shots, my adversary drops. No weapon born against me, Satan has to stop. Respect this, check this, Nike. Jesus Christ in my mind, psyche. I'm just bragging about my heavenly pension. Yo, tell them what you get when you earn a mission.
Diamonds on my neck, diamonds on my neck.
Christ is like an eagle and Buddha is like a pigeon. See, our family matters. Yeah, the earth we're here. I see your wings low. Get your circle clear. Did I do that? God sends your boy like Stephon is back. I should be talking about the diamonds on my neck. Guess who gets 10% of my check? Ching-ching, I pay my tithe. Heaven send down your prize. Yeah, I'm saved by Christ and I'm living Christ. When I get to heaven, I'll be rocking this. Diamonds on my neck, I look like a Jew-Rod. Christ puts the ice on me, now I'm cool. Praising God, saying, my. Muhammad, who? Oh, that's the other guy. Disrespect to your religion. If Christ is Goku, you're a little lower than Krillin. No Dragon Balls, we trying to save souls. You want 10 virgins? That's your main goal? That sounds a little silly. I'm talking about real eagles like I was born in Philly. Sick of months and I'm gilly. Ice on my neck is getting a little chilly. Floating on the cloud, I'm safe, so my mama's proud. Diamonds on my neck, I'm shining outside the crowd. Bow down, confess Christ, you know, stop playing. Instantly, your anointing will be saying.
I never realized like this how good the song was. I never realized it.
Song is pretty hot.
Mm.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to get into now is a little Lecrae boasting.
Let's get it.
That's boasting. I'm sorry. Let's get into it. Here at the Cover of the Cafe, this is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
Let's get it.
If life has anything to gain at all, I'll count it lost if I can't hear you, feel you, cause I need you. Can't walk this earth alone. I recognize I'm not my own. So before I fall, I need to hear you, feel you, as I live to make my boast in you alone.
With every breath I take, with every heartbeat, sunrise or the moonlight in a dark street. Every glance, every dance, every note of a song. It's all a gift undeserved that I shouldn't have known. Every day that I lie, every moment I covet. I'm deserving to die, I'm just earning your judgment.
Without the cross, there's only condemnation. If Jesus wasn't executed, there's no celebration. So in times that are good, in times that are bad, for any times that I've had it all, I will be glad. And I will boast in the cross, I'll boast in my pain. I will boast in the sunshine, boast in his rain. What's my life if it's not praising you? Another dollar in my bank account of vain pursuit. I do not count my life as any value or precious at all. Let me finish my race, let me answer my call.
If this life has anything to gain at all, I'll count it lost if I can't hear you, feel you, cause I need you, can't walk this earth alone. I recognize I'm not my own, before I fall, I need to hear you, feel you, as I live to make my hopes in you alone.
Tomorrow's never promised, but it is, we swear. Think we holding our own, just a fistful of air. God has never been obligated to give us life. If we fought for our rights, we'd be in hell tonight. Mere sinners owe nothing but a fierce hand. We never loved him, we pushed away his fierce hand. I rejected his love, grace, kindness, and mercy. Dying of thirst, yet willing to die thirsty. Eternally worthy, how could I live for less? Patiently, you turn my heart away from selfishness. I volunteer for your sanctifying surgery. I know the Spirit's purging me of everything that's hurting me. Remove the veil from my darkened eyes. So now every morning I open your word and see the sunrise. I hope in nothing, boasting nothing, only in your suffering. I live to show your glory, dying to tell your story.
You know what? It's just, you know, these guys, man, that's coming out now. You, Lace, McCray. You guys are changing the game. You're changing the game up for Christian hip hop.
Mm.
Because I've always talked about, you know, a lot of it being so watered down that you can't really enjoy it.
Yeah.
And what you guys are putting out is just some phenomenal work. And not only, ladies and gentlemen, this guy here is moving forward as far as the hip-hop world, Christian hip-hop world, and it's blending so everybody could get fed.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
This gentleman here is called the Acting Bug. So you guys gotta look out for Lace. Also, if you are listening in the Hampton Roads area, I have a show coming up this coming weekend. So we won't be live next week because I wrote a play. Actually, I adapted it from a book into a stage play. It's called Finding Chris, My Father. It's about a gentleman who didn't find his father until the age of 27.
Hmm.
And it's a pretty interesting story. What happened, his mom, when his mom was pregnant with him,
the father, they woke the father, her and the father got into an argument. They split the separate ways. Mom never told him that that she was pregnant, so he didn't know. He was like, okay, it's just another girlfriend. They split up. So later on, this someone else came into the picture, who was abusive, in and out of jail. So he ended up growing up not really knowing who his father was until at the age of 27. So I don't want to tell too much, but phenomenal cast, man. I have film actors, if you've seen it on my page, young man by the name of Malik Hawkins. He's 11 years old, phenomenal. He's been in films with Tim Reed and all kind of stuff. So we have a lot of talent on the roster. It's a very blessed show. Got a lot of buzz. So we're gonna see how it turned out, you know. But it's a good show. So got that going on. I've got another play shortly after that that me and another young lady wrote, Natasha. She a phenomenal writer, and she assisted. This project is actually dealing with relationships and autism. So it's the premise of the story, the husband and the wife, you know, the husband's always on the road. He's a traveling actor, and the wife is more like, okay, he's a businessman. They kind of try to keep that under the wraps. And they have a child that they don't know is autistic, and she's having a lot of issues with him. And it's pretty much drive a split between. And she ended up starting talking to the therapist, and the husband thinking she's cheating on him. She didn't actually cheat on him. She was actually getting information, but it was so much of a rift in a relationship, you become blind. And that's what happens. You let anger take control. And that scene was actually happening. So they end up splitting. You do have the girlfriend that is trying to encourage her to step out. But however, they later on found out the kid had autism. The name of the story is actually To Death Do Us Part. So they found out that the kid had autism, and later on the kid dies, which brings them back together. Yeah. So it's it deals with relationships and autism, and this also deals with when you are dealing with something, how it can drive you apart. You know, because you have your everyday life. You have both. You guys have jobs. And you have kids doing different things. But then when you have these situations involved, it's hard to deal with. And like I said, you become blind to reality. And that's what. So I'm looking to probably put that up in December. So
that's what's up.
Yeah. So got a few things going on, man, and there's a lot of people that's behind us on this. So we're gonna travel from the Hampton Roads area to Richmond, because that's where the guy actually lives, the author of the story. Very good guy. His name is Vincent Ellis White. You can look him up on internet, Facebook, and all other good stuff.
Good stuff. So y'all heard it first here. Man, Lamont got some things brewing. And if you are in the Hampton area next weekend, yes, sir, you need to be there.
Yeah, so it's going down. It's going down, son, as they say. And wait a minute. That's Deacon. Okay, guys, I'm gonna have to get out of here, but I'm not running from him, but I just gotta go. I just gotta go to the bathroom. All right. So- Yes, yes. Amen. I made it on time.
On time?
I would like to say that I am full of food and I am full of the word. Amen. What I like to say, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. Mm-hmm. John 3:16. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So I have a plan to give you hope in the future there, Lace. And make sure you get rid of that Lamont, because he's not going to help you prosper. At Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to tell you a few things. Did you know that nearly 88% of all animals on earth have six legs?
Hmm.
Amen.
Okay.
And one-third of all cancers are sun-related. Amen?
Mm. Okay.
And women blink nearly twice as much as men.
Sounds accurate, huh?
And the human eye never grows, but the nose and ears never stop growing. So let me let you know something about this here. The human eye never grows. So I'm going to break this down. You're not going to grow because Lamont is like the human eye. He's not going to grow. He's not going to make your show grow. If you have someone that's a nose and ear of the show, your show will never stop growing. It's going to blossom. So what I propose to you is let me come on in and sit in for a show, and I can make your show grow. I will be the nose. I will be the ears of your show and help your show grow beyond whatever. If you continue to have Lamont, which he is the eye of the show, you're never going to grow. Amen?
I have a question, Dee.
Yes.
Dee, what do you have against Lamont? Why don't you like Lamont?
John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So I have come to have your show, make your show full. Lamont is going to make the show be destroyed. So I'm here to say that Acts 18:9 says, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision, do not be afraid, keep on speaking, and do not be silent. I will not be silent. I will keep on speaking, and I will not be afraid to be on this show. And I have to go because I have indigestion, and I can't stay the whole show today. But next time, I will be here on time, just like today, and we're going to run this show. Like it's supposed to be a show, man. Amen. Wow.
Yo.
He stretched his arms out again.
You didn't hear him say this, but I asked him what was the beef, like what problem did he have with you. He responded quickly, like not like I hesitated, like let me think about this, quickly with a scripture. He said that you came to kill, steal, and destroy this show.
Wow.
So now I get it. He's basically just trying to take your spot, pretty much.
I see. And he called me. He said something about eyes don't grow, but noses and ears continue to grow. So he called me the eye. Wow. Jeez. I don't. You know what? We need to get into a break. I need to get into something. You know what? Let's get into that song. By Dej P. Conquerors. Let's see. I got you.
Who we getting into?
Dej P. Conquerors.
Hey, Dej P, man, I'm glad you put me on this track, man. From the middle of the West Coast. Go ahead and do this to Jesus.
Oh, let's check it out.
Yeah, from MIL to Los Angeles, you know what I'm saying? Here we go, man. Yeah. You might be out of position as you were trying to find yourself in this mission. It's not easy pleasing the Father in this life as a Christian. I piece together this puzzle as every day is a struggle. It's an act between the spirit and the flesh. I'm choosing to juggle. I'm trapped inside of this jungle. Situations I run through. Dealing with a difficult time as Jesus I run to. In the end, this is the conclusion I've come to. That I am more than a conqueror with Jesus, the one who calmed the storm by rebuking the waves. It's obvious and apparent to what he's doing these days. Even though I may fall, I'm still choosing to praise. In the end, I will stand tall because I'm choosing his ways. Every decision made I consult with the Father. Because of a perfect God, there is no fault in the Father. This is one of the reasons why the culture is bothered. Because we are serving the Lord as we're exalting the Father, Jesus.
Jump like Tom Cruise, excited to be the dude that features spiritual food. I found my groove, God is good. He is the King of all kings and Lord of lords. We conquer. You don't have to fear no man. God is God and man was made by God, man. If you a Christian, then represent that, man. Keep aligning yourself to be part of his plan. And remember this earth is temporary land. I put in work like I was a soldier and I went. No tomorrow's not promised, so I live today out like I got something to conquer. See, it's a blessing, sins beneath our feet. We kneel to God, and your heart is where he beats. Where he seeks the individual preaching, God teaching, unleash the Christian beat for us. With my lyrics and verses, when you hear this brother spit, it's a reasonable service. So yes, I'm a servant for Christ, serving for life. No longer am I concerned with serving dudes with mice. Y'all concerned about skill? I'm concerned about the real. Rather not see those people burn like fire Marshal Bill. Conquerors care less what they say, cause defeat is unattractive like Martin playing Shanae. They are the people that are stuck in the physical, when the supernatural curly can't acknowledge a miracle. I'm striving for my spiritual pinnacle every day, and the potter is molding me into greatness like ashes clay. Yeah, so best believer will conquer. The problems are the hot wheels, God is the tonker. He gave me power over the enemy when I used the power given to me. It's just the Holy Spirit living in me. Dead speed, dead speed. Right now, not you, 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 not you
That's a pretty tight.
I like the vibe. Yeah, I like the vibe of that. That was dope. I like that.
I had to get in something distracting for me because somebody trying to take my spot. And it's like we invite him on the show, you know, to get with
you. Invite him on the show.
Okay, I did. And then he turns into Brutus, and then Brutus. Stab Caesar in the back.
Yes, it was Judas.
No, I'm saying Shakespeare.
Yeah, it was Judas. It was Judas.
It was Judas.
Judas, yep.
Man.
Or was it Brutus? I believe it was Judas, though.
Man. Anyway. Well, I tell you what, we got about 12 minutes. We can go ahead and take our time with the words live by. And then we get into a long song to close out.
Definitely. So our word, it actually comes from today. I just actually prayed about it. I don't know where we're going to go with this. And it comes from Joshua 1:8-9. And it says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." All right, so the whole thing that we're getting at for this week, there are some keynotes that we should take on, the keynotes we should take up. As far as Joshua and what we need to do. This is Joshua, who is just now taking on the mantle, taking Moses' mantle. As you know, Moses led the people out of Egypt, and he led them in the wilderness for 40 years as the Lord purged them out as they got ready for the promised land. With that being said, Moses is dead. Moses just died, and Joshua is the successor. So now he's taking the place of leadership. So, you know, you being this young guy, for this whole time, the people have been under one leadership. So now this transition is not really a smooth transition, but it's a transition that needs to be made. So now with Joshua getting ready to take on this new role of leadership, you know, just think about it from a young perspective. You step into a new arena or you're doing something you've never done before, it could be a little heavy. You could have some fear. You could have some, you know, discouraging moments. But this is the thing. These are the notes that we definitely should take in verse 8 as the Lord is speaking to Joshua. One, what does the Lord say? He says, meditate on the book of the law. So we know that the book and the law that for us is the Holy Bible, as often quoted by Lamont, basic instructions before leaving earth. You know, this is what we have to do what we need to do and to be successful at it. So he says to meditate on it. Not just meditate on it, but meditate on it day and night. Now, mind you, in Hebrew, whenever you've seen the word day, this is also consistent with daily. So this is something you should do every single day, a daily thing. Night, I looked up night. Night in Hebrew, it also meant adversity. So daily, every day, and during adversity, you should read the law, read this book, read the Bible. Also, just keeping it plain English, day and night, nighttime, daytime. So at least two times a day. Let's try to do it at least two times a day. Also, it says that you may do according to all that is written. So, of course, we're meditating, we're doing it so that we may follow the word and stick to it. For then you will make your way prosperous. So this is how we get a prosperous and a good success. By meditating on the word daily, by sticking to his words and following them and keeping them. And this is what we're really commanding right now. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and good of courage. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is wherever you go. Now, this is a scripture that I definitely wouldn't want anybody to take lightly, because a lot of people like to say, yeah, the Lord is with you wherever you go. The Lord is with you, Lord is with you. But look at the scripture before this. God didn't say, I'm with you wherever you go, before he said, read my word day and night and follow my instructions. So this is a major clause that people seem to ignore. You can't just say, yeah, God is with me everywhere I go, and you don't read and you don't keep his word. How can you have a prosperous and a good success according to what God is saying when you don't do what he's telling you to do? How can you be strong and of good courage when you don't keep his, when you don't follow his word? So with that being said, that's a major clause that I definitely keep in mind to be, seek him daily and at night. And also, you know, not only are you seeking him, but you're obeying. You know, it's one thing to be a hearer of the word, but it's a greater thing to be a doer. So being a doer or being a hearer of the word, and also just keeping in mind that when you are God's, so this is, that's why I'm not talking to everybody now, because everybody's not God's, because they don't want to be. They choose not to be. But when you are God's, it's important to remember and to realize that he is with you. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So be of courage. Do not be afraid. For even the word says in Second Timothy 1:7, it says God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. So if you are a child of God, if you are his, also stepping into leadership or stepping into boldness, into doing new things or going after, you know, making a new agenda, stepping out there on faith, keep in mind to be in good courage. And in order for you to have success in whatever field or throughout your week, you literally have to meditate on his word, and you have to be obedient to what was poured into you by the word of God. So I literally, from on my behalf, I can't function. And this is real talk. I cannot function when I don't read. I have to read my word to start the day. For some reason, I notice.
You may continue. Go ahead.
But as I was saying, if I don't read my word, or if I don't get involved, invested into God before I start my day, I literally get confused. I literally get frustrated throughout my day, and my days are always bad. I notice that. So with that being said, it is a necessity that I get the word poured inside of me, that I'm reading, that I've spent some time with God before I go out my day. And this is how my day becomes prosperous and successful, by first, you know, going seeking God first and letting God clarify and just pouring into me on how I need to, what steps I need to take, how I need to go out by my day. And also just his presence is so, it's so much peace. So this is what we need to do.
And also you have to think about, I definitely need to get better at reading every day. You have to think about reading your Bible every day as eating every day. So you eat every
correct.
Day. And I'm not sure eat every day. That's why I went through the four pairs of pants today before I went to church, and my waistline has increased. And that's a different story. I'm not going to get into that. But however, I need to have my spiritual waistline increase instead of my regular waistline increasing.
That's good stuff.
And that I do need to do every day. Sometimes we all, and I'm quite sure you're probably better than I am with this, I get caught up in the everyday, okay, I wake up, let's get, you know, I got to get to work, you know, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And also I talk on my way. But it's different when you talk and understanding the reading before you talk.
Right.
You know?
And what's important to keep in mind, I mean, even in Psalms, God said, be still and know that I'm God. So looking up, being still, is it's a motionless movement. You know, that's an interesting combination right there, motionless movement. So it's to not move, period. It's also to be silent. So it's one thing to be on the go, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and I'm talking to God while I'm doing it. But it's another thing to make time out for God and to sit still, to be still. And that's how you know that he is God, because you have caused your flesh, you have caused your body, you have caused your mind to submit to God's sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
You have literally took discipline over your life and said, be still and know that God is here. And let's read, let's meditate, let's spend time with him. So even so, we all have to make the adjustments. There will be times that I have to wake up earlier than necessary just to seek God before I go out my way, because, you know, it might be, it could be, you know, time constricting, because you get up and it's like, okay, I got to go here so I don't have time to read. Well, sometimes we got to make the adjustment. You know, how bad do you want God? You know, and I pray as I drive as well. I do stuff like that as well. But it is a big difference when, you know, you have to have that time out when you're still and you're seeking God.
Mm-hmm.
It takes you a lot further. And, of course, I mean, what makes it easier for me is that I set parameters to where I have no choice. Remember before I told you about my prayer alarm. I have no choice but to stop. My alarm is going off. So whatever I'm doing, my focus is broken anyway because my alarm's going off. So I have to stop. And then you have other things. As soon as I made it a habit, as soon as I wake up, I get on my knees and pray. And then before I do anything, I have to read my Bible. So now it's a habit to where now it's became a commandment in my mind. You got to do this or you have a bad day.
Mm. Yeah. And that is definitely working. And I see a clear difference in my daily prayer. Because there's so much is going on as far as career, family, expanding, things of that nature. A beautiful wife, I can't have anything better. So
right.
That is definitely, you know, definitely working. And that's something I can't complain. That's one of my favorite songs that I can't complain.
Yeah.
So that's it. Ladies and gentlemen, we definitely appreciate you guys tuning in this week. And was it Deacon Harold? He's a deacon under deacon.
Crazy. He's a Du Bois.
He's a Du Bois, but the deacon gave him, I don't know how be a deacon under deacon. I mean, I don't know how they had the same church or he just said that. But anyway, we thank you guys for tuning in. You have a blessed week, and we'll be an encore show next week. But following, we're going to keep you posting on everything that's going down. So
yes.
Thanks for listening to Come to Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
Have a good night.